Welcome to Hookup Horror Stories. This podcast contains topics that may not be suitable for listeners under the age of 18. This includes things like domestic violence, sexual assault, and sexuality. They are intended to be educational in nature, but either way, a trigger warning is in place. Listener discretion is advised.
The act of intimacy, the physical act of intimacy, sex, has been used as a coping mechanism for the pain that people feel from lacking intimacy.
Right.
It's like that one thing that you're lacking and you desire, you use the physical act of it as a means to numb the feelings that you are missing within your emotional intimacy.
But the slide in that pussy is a homicide. But the slide in that pussy is the homicide. It's the homicide.
Welcome to Hookup Horror Stories, the podcast where we spill the tea on sex and dating. I'm your resident sexual deviant, Demi Wild. Did I say deviant? Oh my God. Anyways, I'm happy to be here. Let's start over. That's not good. Sorry. That wasn't good.
what is the line?
Sexual line? Deviant. I said deviant. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was going off the script, and that's why that happened. Okay. Welcome to Hookup Horror Stories, the podcast where we spill the tea on sex and dating. I'm your resident sexual deviant, Demi Wild. Today, I've got a very special guest deviant. I have gay men self-love coach, Steve Matos. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Demi. Hi, everybody. Nice to be here.
Nice to be here, too. AKA Sacred Steve.
Yes. You can call me Steve. You can call me Sacred Steve. I love both.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I've been following you on Instagram for a while, and we started like kind of a little friendship over the internet.
And yeah, definitely.
I love your content. I love like the your spiritual leadership that you like to apply in your coaching and the stuff that you put out there, which I really appreciate.
Thank you for acknowledging that. Thank you for saying that. That is true. I put so much of a spiritual take on all this life coaching because for me, when spirituality was one of the biggest traumatizers to my, you know, coming of age, that it's just like full circle that spirituality is what healed me,
right?
You know, so, or at least what is healing me, you know, because there's so much to do. But so what worked for me, I feel can work for other people, you know. And if it doesn't, that's okay. You find out what works for you. But you know, on your journey, take what you will from what I teach and apply it to you if it resonates. If not, then you just keep on looking for your answer within, which is what happened with me.
Exactly. Yeah. I think as queer people, a lot of us are also traumatized just like from our experiences and the church and all that kind of stuff too. So kind of reconnecting with our own spirituality in our own personal way is extremely important.
I think that's exactly what it is. It's being that spiritual guide for yourself that you needed when you were 12.
Yeah, totally. Well, Steve, tell us a little bit about yourself. And of course, you're a gay men's life coach, but what else is about you? Where are you from? What do you do?
Right. Thank you. So born and raised in New York, lived here my whole life. Born between two Puerto Rican parents. They're New Yorkans. They were born and raised in New York too. So I'm second generation New Yorker. And I grew up in between Manhattan and Brooklyn, and always very aware that I was different, but not exactly sure what that difference was. Just knew it wasn't like the other boys, which I know a lot of gay men can relate to. You know, you're understanding you're different, but when you actually do begin to understand your differences from everyone else and seeing how they are not necessarily accepted or, you know, or even welcome, it really takes a toll on your relationship with yourself, your relationship with the world, and how you end up growing up. So I totally believe that I grew up within my own shell, you know, because I just didn't feel, you know, even growing up in New York City, it's still, you're exposed to a lot, definitely.
New York is tough. New York is a tough place to be, especially if you're like a little bit different. I mean, everyone's a little bit different there, but it's still like a rough place.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm 38 years old. So I was a kid in the 90s, not a baby in the 90s. So I was more aware to what the narrative around being gay was, and it was not a good one.
Wait, you're 38?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
You look like 28.
I appreciate it. I'm 38.
Oh my God.
I feel 20, except for sometimes I don't feel 28, you know, when like I do a certain dance move and my hip hurts longer than usual.
Fair enough.
That gives away my age.
Fair enough. Yeah.
But yeah, so I definitely grew up in a shell, you know, and there were so many things that I wished I was able to pursue more than I did, but I knew I was held back because of my fear of just being seen, you know. So I grew up studying music, and I followed studying music, even went to a performing arts high school and really pursued it, but there was still part of me that was just like not giving it my all, still very reserved, still very held back because of the fear of judgment. So I saw how that was going into my, you know, early 20s. And by like my mid and late 20s, when I realized I was in this like funk of believing all these lies about me that I thought I had to believe just in order to kind of like survive, I realized that that way of being was no longer working, you know, and I changed my whole life. You know, I stopped having sex. I stopped doing so many other things. I changed my diet. I changed my diet, not just what I eat, but just everything I read, the stuff I would listen to, the what movies I would watch, the people I would hang with, the clubs I would go to, the sexual promiscuity that I was doing. I changed it all in my late 20s because the way of being was just not working anymore, you know? And because of that change, I was able to go back into everything that I do love doing aside from helping people, which is music, getting back into writing music, getting back into performing, looking for, you know, auditioning for agents and stuff like that. I had tapped into it as a kid, but not fully due to my insecurities. Went spent my 20 years self-coping and numbing all of that. To then wake up to realize you've always could do this and you could do it without anybody's input of how it should be done, you know? And now I'm in a place where I'm working with gay men, helping them. And then also remembering that I'm my first client and supporting myself to follow the other dreams that I have that were kind of like put on the wayside.
Yeah. And I don't think that's a very unique experience, first of all. I think that's a very common experience, especially for queer people and gay men in particular. Like, I remember, like, when I was in my mid-20s, I was a hot mess. I was, like, literally, I had gone through, like, a radical ego shift, I feel like. I had had, like, I was performing in drag, first of all, so that's already, like, an ego shift. And, you know, really expressing myself and, like, that kind of artistic expression also kind of taking over everything, that the artist ego, if you will.
Okay.
And also, you know, along all the stuff that comes with that, with being gay and partying and going out and drinking and doing coke in the bathroom and, you know, like just all this crazy shit that, you know, you wouldn't normally do if you weren't like partying. So when I was like in my late 20s, I had gone through like a really difficult time in my life, and I decided to just kind of like reset, hit the reset button. And I think a lot of us also go through this around our late 20s too. It's the return of Saturn. yeah. But it never fails. 28 to like 20 to like 30 is like the year that everything changes for everybody. But it's around that same time that I had also had the same kind of thing where like, okay, I need to like really change my diet. I need to change like not just my eating diet, but like the diet that I was feeding myself in my brain. Yeah. So I kind of like stopped doing all the, like the stop partying. Ooh. Yeah. I stopped partying, started reading more, started like really getting into back in touch with my spirituality, and, you know, it never really left me, but like, you know what I mean?
No, I understand. And it's, and I call the bullshit. And what I mean is it's not bullshit. Then when you're using it, it's exactly what you feel like you need. You just wake up to realizing I don't need to indulge in it the way that I do to avoid what I have been avoiding feeling.
Exactly.
Now, when I do use it, it's for a different reason. It's not to self-numb, right? It's to whatever particular experience or expression, you know? So it shifts. You know, and it definitely changes. So I call the bullshit, meaning like the way that it was done was all for reasons I wasn't even aware, to now I can make a different choice, and I'm grateful for that.
Right, completely.
Yeah.
I do want to mention this, and I'm not sure if a lot of people are kind of aware, but like the accounts you follow, that's kind of part of your diet too. Like, what are you feeding your brain? Like, we're on this app all day long, and but what is it that we're actually putting into our brain? Are we like just, I mean, I've kind of changed a little bit. I've started following a lot more meme accounts and just kind of shifted my whole online persona to being a more meme oriented person, because I love to laugh. You know, that's my love language, is I love to laugh. Yeah. So if you're following nothing but news, if you're following nothing but like, you know, things that are just kind of like traumatizing you on a daily basis, maybe start unfollowing a few of those just to kind of like make sure your brain's all right.
Absolutely. I would definitely agree with that. You know, what you follow, you consume. Mm-hmm. You know, you might not be consuming it orally, but you consuming it energetically. So you gotta have a diet plan of what you consume that is actually going to be healthy for you and beneficial for you. We all like a little bit of chocolate. I get it, you know, but when it becomes compulsive and when it becomes, you know, almost like addicting in a sense, app can totally be addicting with all the swipes and all the likes and all of this and all of that. Yeah, you have to be on top of it. You have to be mindful and be like, all right, so what you eat, you become food-wise, right? What you eat, you become, because the food gets broken down and then the body converts that energy into making new cells, and you're made up of the cells. So what you eat, you become. What I'm listening to, what I'm watching, I'm consuming also, which means it's becoming me. Is this what I want to become? Do I want to be these nothing but just like ratchet fights?
Right.
We'd be seeing the ratchet fights. You'd be seeing the, you know, the Waffle House fights. You know, like, do I really want to be a Waffle House fight?
Oh my God. I used to follow Hollywood Unlocked, and I had to stop because I'm like, this is number one. They were really pushing this whole Chris, I'm not sure how to say her name, Chrisean Rock and Blueface thing, because they had a new reality show that was like based. I'm sorry, but it was not good. Like, that is a toxic relationship. That is abuse. That is not good. But they were pushing it into my feed like just 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day. I'm like, I don't care. I wanted to see other stuff that you guys were posting. But yeah. I was like, I started getting stressed out because I'm like, this is not good, you know?
Absolutely. You have to. I noticed that when I hop on my phone too soon or too early, it induces anxiety. It does. It's that strong and it's that effective. And I have to know, I have to be aware of myself and how, all right, can I be very impressioned on right now? Okay, like right. Where am I? Do I feel strong enough and confident enough and grounded enough to now get on this app and not let it affect me? You know, so that's definitely something I recommend to people to really to start like paying attention and becoming aware of how it alters your mood.
Yeah.
And to be mindful of that and pay attention to that.
Totally. Let's talk about music for a little bit. What kind of music did you like growing up? What inspired you? I know you mentioned you're a little bit of a musician, but what was your music taste as a kid and how did that evolve?
Oh my God. As a kid, I definitely like pop rock stuff, you know, and then all the tweeny top bop shit, you know, I mean, I was buying Hanson. I was buying Spice Girls.
No, not Hanson.
Hanson, buying Spice Girls as a kid. What else I was buying? But then I was also like looking at like classic, more classic rock stuff too. In the sixth grade, I was all about Aerosmith for a time, you know, so I definitely was mainstream kid, you know, the pop stuff, you know, the NSYNC, the Christina Aguilera's, that was definitely me in like middle school as well, you know, and even like late elementary school. And then in teenage years, it was probably all about the hip hop. It was definitely a lot of hip hop and then pop, you know, as well. But then what was cool about high school was since I majored in vocal music, I was exposed to just classical all day as well. And we sang in Italian and French and in German.
Oh, wow. You know,
so it helped like make us well-rounded. We had a gospel choir. We sang in gospel choir. So there was just, like really fluffed up my eclectic style anyway by just studying that, which was really, really fun and really, really cool.
Yeah. I remember when I was in, I mean, probably elementary school, like fourth, fifth grade, we used to have little quote unquote concerts, you know, we would basically learn a little dance, like out in like the front yard or whatever, like just a bunch of us kids. And it was always like Destiny's Child, Christina Aguilera. And I mean, who says that you're not born gay? I mean, I was out there, I was dancing to Christina Aguilera and Destiny's Child, and I'm like 6 years old, you know?
Yes, exactly. No, yeah, totally. But go ahead.
But yeah, like it was that. And also I remember, I think my first CD I ever got was a mix CD from Walgreens. Do you remember Walgreens used to sell CDs? Go figure.
Like kind of like now that it's like cool music.
Yeah.
Like that. Okay.
But my first CD had like, oh my God, 100% Pure Love, like Crystal Waters, like, oh
yes.
My God.
Yes.
A lot of dance music.
A lot of dance music. Yeah. All freestyle music too. Also like growing up in the Lower East Side of Manhattan in the 90s, a lot of the Latinos around here would blast freestyle music. Mm. So that was big in my life. And then like, you know, I listened to what my mom would listen to. She'd be throwing on the Whitney, the Anita Baker, know, the Chaka Khan, you know, so like hearing all of that. And I remember as a kid going through my parents' CDs and putting on headphones and just going through all their stuff and learning about stuff from, you know, the Motown era as well too. So that really also shaped my eclectic, like, you know, taste.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a writer, but like I'm also a poet. So like I was really drawn to hip hop and rap and stuff. Cause it's flows, it's got a rhyme, you know, I love all that kind of stuff too. So I was really drawn to like hip hop and rap from like a very early age. But like nowadays, I think nothing's really changed. I think I still like love dance music most of all. But like I listen to everything.
Yeah. Nowadays, oh my God, music, I think music is fantastic. The fact that we have the internet and all these online streaming platforms to where you can upload music, whether it be Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, all these places where you can just, a Beatport, where all these places where you can just upload music. If you're to say that music nowadays suck, you're just being lazy and you ain't searching, honey, because it's out there. There are amazing, talented unknowns that are just like all worthy of major record label deals. I was writing for a dance blog for a few years, and I would meet these producers as well and interview them in person and some of the artists. And like this one particular artist that I did a review on, and then I met them at their concert, and I asked, like, listen, you have such an amazing sound, like you're right up there with like fucking Pharrell and Drake and everybody. Like, I can see you on the radio. What's up? And they're like, if we get a major record label deal, they will completely control us and take away all of our freedom, and we do it exactly how we want to do it. This is why we're independent. So I don't blame them. So it's like, the reason we're not hearing them is because what they want you to hear is what they want you to hear, not what's out there.
Right. Yeah,
So
good
that, of
point.
course, it can seem whack, because I mean, like, mainstream music's, design is very, very predictable and generic. Like, basically, like, this, even the song structures of today's of mainstream music is all verse, chorus, verse, bridge, chorus, chorus, whatever. It's just that same format, and what I love about music today is there's so many that are not even like that.
I remember my mom, she just recently, this is two examples actually. So my mom was like, we were driving to LA and she had, I think The Weeknd came on like on the radio. And she goes, oh, I know this song. I'm like, yeah, it's The Weeknd. And she goes, no, I th this is a cover. This is a cover song. I've heard this song before. I was like, no, I'm like Googling it. I'm like Wikipedia. I'm like, it's an original song. I don't think so. And then literally she goes home and she sends it to me later on. She goes, no, this is the song. It was another Weeknd song that just had the same kind of like music structure and like same like kind of chorus, just like kind of switched around. I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. I think Ed Sheeran also had two songs on the radio at the exact same time that sounded the exact same. It's like, what? What's happening?
It's a formula that they spit out.
Okay, I could talk about music all day, but I do want to shift gears here to talk a little bit more about some fun stuff. I have a weird question for you. And I like asking this to people that it might throw them off.
Okay.
What's the weirdest porn you've ever seen?
Okay, well, I guess that's really up to what you considered weird, but I guess we okay. So wait, do I have did I have to like it for it?
No, no. I mean, it could
Okay,
be two girls, one cup. Like,
I've actually never seen
you don't want to, trust me.
the weirdest. Let's see. I'm just trying to think what's coming to me that's pretty weird. It was not weird, but I was shocked. I mean, we know what fisting is, right? But
Right.
I never actually seen someone's foot go up somebody's ass, but I saw that, honey. His bare foot was up his ass.
The whole foot
At least up to like
up to the arch. Oh,
up to like the arch. It was all the toes were in there and more. It was wild. I was
wearing
like,
him like a sock.
yeah, it was exactly like a boot, honey. So that was pretty, I don't want to say it's weird, but it was shocking because, I had never seen that before, but now I have.
I had seen, and this was an accident. I was just scrolling. I don't really watch porn a whole lot, but like I was on one tonight or something or whatever that was. But like I was watching, I don't know how I got on this, but it was like So it was two guys. One of them had like his dick wrapped in like a, it was wrapped in something. It was like way larger than it should have been. It was like wrapped in something, and he was like fucking the guy with this thing. I'm not sure if this is real, but I saw like a small part of his like abdomen was like being poked up out of the thing.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that was real.
And I was like, no, this is not good. I need out of here. I need to like bleach my eye. This is not good. It freaked me out. I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah, sometimes it can be scary when you see some of the stuff that they do. Okay.
Okay. Now that we've covered that. What is the biggest struggle in the gay community, do you think? Because like, you know, you're a gay men's life coach. What's something that's a common thing that like gay men kind of struggle with?
Loneliness. A lot of loneliness. You know, a lot of gay men, you know, really, a lot of gay men are very lonely being single. A lot of gay men feel like they're never going to find a boyfriend or find that relationship, you know, and they desire connection, you know, they desire intimacy, truly. That's what's missing a lot. And I feel what would help them is learning how to just connect with yourself, you know, on like, not just knowing what you like and what you don't like, but like getting down to the nitty and gritty of why you are the way you are and what are the things that are hard for you to admit, the things that are hard for you to even acknowledge within yourself, that the stuff that you hate thinking about, you know. Start somewhere by like listening to you. You want someone to pay attention to you. You want someone to give you love and affection and XYZ is, we know why so many gay men want a relationship. And it's like, well, why don't you just take a moment to listen to yourself? Why don't you give yourself that? Don't you give that moment to say, I love you and I'm listening. What are you feeling? What right. do you need? What is it? You know, like really sit there and give yourself that attention and that presence that you want from somebody else, you know? And if that's hard, that's why we have guides. That's why we have healers, coaches, and counselors, and social workers, and therapists. And, you know, those people are not there for no reason.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, we're so quick as, you know, as gay people, we're kind of force-fed sex, like, on a daily basis anyways. And because sex sells. But at the same time, I think we also kind of use it as a crutch. And in place of intimacy, and we don't really give ourselves that kind of grace in order to express that part of ourselves in a healthier way, or because we're so quick to pick up the apps, just like, hey, come over, because I need intimacy, I need a connection of some sort. I think that's something that I've always struggled with, but I also see a lot, like just in my day to day with in my friends. As a community.
Absolutely. The act of intimacy, the physical act of intimacy, sex, has been used as a coping mechanism for the pain that people feel from lacking intimacy.
Right.
It's like that one thing that you're lacking and you desire. You use the physical act of it as a means to numb the feelings that you are missing within your emotional intimacy. And it's just really interesting. And it's like, if we can kind of just make the connection and be like, all right, what is it that I really, really want to experience right now? And that could change our relationships with each other, change our relationship with sex, you know? It's not wrong to have sex. Absolutely not. It's fucking human and it's natural. It's how you got here. So it's of course what we do. But just like with food, it's natural to eat, but you can eat unhealthy.
Right.
You can eat in ways that are to bury feelings. And we do that with every natural indulgence like sex, you know? So it's really important for people to ask themselves, all right, you know, that if I'm, how else do I really want intimacy? Because I'm using the physical act of intimacy right now a whole lot for what reason? And the way that I truly desire it, in what ways can I make that happen for myself?
Right. I think it also has to do with like just being male for some reason, like just societally. Yeah. Just societally, like we're kind of told to suppress the feminine parts of ourselves, you know, the emotional part of ourselves. And yeah. I feel like a lot of like heterosexual men also use sex as a crutch to like kind of get their emotional fix or like their intimate fix in a way. And that's when you see a lot of like toxic stuff happening, you know, guys get aggressive, guys get just, you know, weirded out about like being close to another person if it's not in a sexual way.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that part when you said, you know, just being men, you know, we're definitely no matter if you're gay or straight, we're definitely programmed and conditioned to suppress our femininity and to the natural primal instinct to mate has been like overfed, overstimulated. So it's like, yeah, we are sexual creatures, definitely, you know, and, you know, men are very visual too. So like, you know, it's like our natural ways of being have been exploited. You know, it's been exploited, our natural ways of being. And then it turns into where it becomes like mindless, you know? So it's like, you want to have great sex? Yes. Start feeling your emotions so you can have even better sex. Because watch your fucking change.
Right. Watch that change. Okay, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I know you got a story for us.
Yes, we do. Can't cool. wait.
Welcome back, Sacred Steve. Steve
Matos. What's up?
What is your story you have for us?
So I feel like it's more of a horror story for the other person, not for me, but a little bit of a horror story for me. But so, you know, back in the thought days, me and one of my besties, we were notorious for running trains on guys.
Wow. Okay.
We would tag team guys together. We'd either meet them on the apps, they would come over, we'd bang them out, or we'd meet them somewhere. So one particular night here in Manhattan at this club called The Ritz in Hell's Kitchen, we were standing outside at the end, you know, when it was about to close, and we see this dude like staring at us, you know, and we start talking like, you know, do you like him? Yeah, we need blah, blah, blah. And then he kind of signals to us to follow him. So we follow him, and we're following him down the block and basically follow him all the way to his apartment. As soon as we get into the apartment, he strips and he takes off all his clothes. He pushes my bestie on the couch and like starts straddling my bestie and starts making out with him. I then come behind him, squat down and start eating his ass while he's making out with my best friend, right? So we're doing our thing. Maybe about 2 minutes later, the front door opens and his roommate comes in and catches us. And he's just drops his keys and he's like, really? Again? And we're all just like, oh, fuck.
Again?
We're just like, fuck. And then he gets up all naked and goes over to his roommate's bedroom. And like the door closes and they're like doing their thing. And me and my bestie are just like, yeah, what are we going to do? And my bestie is like, yo, let's just wait to see if we can finish. The guy comes back out. We leave the living room, go to his bedroom, and you know, we handle our business in there. But it was it wasn't that horrific for us because, you know, I wasn't the naked one with two guys on top of me and my roommate coming in, but like right. it was still pretty horrific because we were just like, oh shit, this is embarrassing. But that's the first one that I could think of that came to my mind when you asked me to bring a story, and that was what popped in. So that's what you guys
wait. Heard. So I have to say, number one, I haven't had a threesome story yet, so this is great. Okay, but cool. I'm at a loss for words. I'm flabbergasted at the fact that like he goes, yeah, okay, we could finish in my room. And the roommate was like, after again.
After his meeting with his freaking roommate, his roommate was seemed just so like fed up. Like, you do this shit all the time. after he had his meeting with his roommate, he took us into the room and he was like, "Yeah, get back to business." So I'm just like, "I."
How funny!
I know.
Oh my gosh!
I know. It was funny. It was horrific. I mean, it wasn't that horrific, you know. I mean, there's probably worse, but it's the last thing you kind of want. Well, at least one of the last. There's probably worse things than that, but still, it's not at the top of the list for us to get interrupted by their roommate. It was just embarrassing. Me and my friends still talk about that to this day, and that was over 10 years ago.
Oh my gosh. See, I don't think I've ever really been caught. No, I have. I have. Actually, I was actually going over to somebody's house in order to sleep with them, but I ended up sleeping with the roommate instead because he was being dramatic and wasn't being fun. And then the roommate came out who was like way hotter and literally kept entering the living room where I was like hanging out, waiting for my friend to fucking like stop being a little bitch in the other room. And he kept coming out, but like progressively getting more naked. And so I was like, what is going on here? And then I went to his room. So I was like, yeah, okay, cool.
Well, good for you. I mean, at least you didn't waste your time.
Right. Right. Did you have another one?
I didn't. Not that I can think of. No. I have horror stories, but they're not hookup.
Do you have a date story?
A date story? That was I mean, I was with this very nice guy. We were in Union Square. He bought me some candy. Don't know what happened, but I ended up getting the runs the entire date. And we had to find a bathroom like every 5 minutes, and like he was really kind and like waited for me outside of the bathroom, and it was just the worst diarrhea you could possibly think of. I think it was the candy. I don't know what it was. Maybe we had something to eat before, but I was literally crouching on the floor in the middle of the park, and he's like, are you okay? I'm like, no girl, I'm sweating and I'm gonna shit my pants.
Ooh, you got food poisoning.
That sucked. I remember that.
You got food poisoning.
Yes, it was food poisoning. It totally was food poisoning.
Yeah. I've had food poisoning a couple times in my life, but like it was, I always like start off with the sweats. You start off with the sweats and like you're like, oh God, like something's happening to me. And then it's like a cramp. And you're like, oh, this isn't going to be good, is it?
Yeah. You know it's not normal.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
It's not a normal urge. And then also with the nausea too, you're like, ooh.
I have a horror story actually that I'll share.
Okay.
That is scatological, so trigger warning to those who are offended to this. But since we're on the topic, I actually the last time I was in New York, not this last time, the time before, I was I invited this guy over. Very attractive. He's Ukrainian, like maybe like 5'11", just like beefy, like just gorgeous. And I was already like having a hard time getting clean. And so I was like, this might not be great. So I invited him over anyways, like because he was like basically on his way. So I was like, okay, like whatever, we're just gonna like figure this out. Comes over, strips down, we start making out, having fun. And then I was like, okay, this, something's not right. I felt a little like rumbling happening. So yeah. I was like, okay, this might not. But I said, okay, I'm going to have to go to the, he goes, no, it's fine. And I was like, no, you don't understand. It's like, this is not fine. He goes, no, it's fine. So he keeps fucking me. And I'm like, no, I really got it. It's fine. It's fine. He kept saying it's fine. God bless this man, first of all, because he pulls out, and then it must have been like just a volcano happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just, it wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, okay. And you know, I had towels on anyways, and so it wasn't that big of a mess. But he just looks at me, looks down, and he goes, I'll get you a towel.
He was very nice about it. See, what the thing is, thank God, if you're going to be having anal sex, you got to be mature.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if it was just because he was like, you know, from Eastern Europe, where right. sex is whatever to them, you know, it doesn't, like, whatever the situation might be, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But he was just very not put off at all. He was just like, yeah, cool. Got it.
Right. So that really could have been a horror story, but it was more just like a thriller.
It was just a thriller. Yeah. It could have been really bad, but it was.
Yeah. It was a suspense, you know, got you.
It was like Seven with, what's the movie? What's his name? Never mind. The movie Seven. Brad Pitt and what's his name?
Okay. Well, I'm glad you had somebody like that who is understanding, because, you know, like, if you're going to be fucking in the ass, shit's going to happen.
Shit happens.
It happens. You have to be mature about it. I mean, I've definitely been in that situation on both ends. I've been dirty before. I've, you know, topped and they're dirty, and it's just like, you know, it's all good. It's, oh my God. I do have another story.
Oh,
I feel so bad for this guy. It was just very like, man, like, he had been adamant about getting together, and we finally got together, and it's like everything we've been waiting for. And I was bottoming, but I hadn't bottomed in a long time, so like, he kind of wore me out quick, and I was like, can we just take a moment? I'm like, you know, he's like, yeah, well, like, I can I at least, you know, fuck your throat? I'm like, yeah, that's totally fine. I just need to take a break there, because it's been a long time and you're wilding out right now. But that wilding out didn't stop. So he continued to just be wilding out on my throat. And that gag wasn't just a gag. I ended up fucking puking on him like my lentil soup dinner.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
This might be a callback to my episode that I had with my friend Daniel, who gagged and threw up on someone and left a whole piece of bacon from a bird.
Oh gosh.
A whole piece of bacon. He did not digest that at all.
That's wild. Nah, man. But then I told him, I was like, listen, you said you liked pigs. Just gotta like lighten the mood, you know.
Yes, we're gonna like roll around in the, the dirt.
No, literally, I puked up my lentil soup on him, and it was, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I mean, when he went to the shower to go rinse off, I got dressed instantly. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm not gonna stay now.
Gotta go.
Yeah, that was pretty bad, and never heard from that guy again. I don't blame him. I mean, like. It was intense. Yeah.
It's good times. Awesome. I love a good shit and vomit story.
It's like, yeah, if we can't get any more intimate than that. Okay.
You can't. Steve, this has been so much fun. I loved having you here. Where can my listeners find you?
Oh, you can find me on TikTok, SacredSteve_. You can find me on IG, SacredSteve_. You can find me, where else do I use? that's pretty much it. Those are like the two, you know, my where I'm most active on social media, and where you can find my content that is geared towards helping gay men find confidence and realize that they're good enough now.
Of course, you'll find all of that in the episode description down below. Before I let you go, though,
Yes.
can you play a quick game?
Sure.
Let's do it. Okay, so this is a game called Red Flags. Do you know how to play?
No, can you tell me?
Yes, very quickly. It's basically, I'm just going to give you a situation with a partner, and all you have to say is if it's a red flag for you or not, and or why, if you want to. Number one, they always talk crypto. They're always talking crypto.
Like cryptocurrency?
Yeah.
Red flag.
Why?
Well, the idea of it does sound pretty cool and stuff like that, but if we were ever to get to a place of where it's only digital currency, that is calling for a lot of problems. And
I actually agree with you there.
I don't think it's safe.
Yeah.
I don't think
Well, luckily, crypto's in the shitter right now. So if, even if they were talking crypto, it's useless. they can never pick out a place to eat at.
That's not really a red flag. Some people are just can be a little indecisive about that, and that could be just their that's you can work with that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a type A personality myself. I don't mind picking places.
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, I'll pick the same damn place if you don't give a shit, because I could eat the same damn place every single day. You know, I'm very much like that. You know, they know my meal. But
Exactly.
so, like, that's not really a red flag. I can, if it ever becomes an issue, you just talk about it.
Exactly. Their bed isn't made when you come over.
I mean, it's like, it's, it, I don't give a shit about that.
You're like, I looked over at my bed. You're like,
Yeah, I looked over my bed. I mean, like, it's not terrible, but it's not completely neat and clean. And it's just like, listen, like, it's not an issue. I can take the bed and it's done right there.
how about this? They sleep on a blow-up mattress.
Well, listen, I slept on a mattress on the floor without a bed frame for like 5 years. So I don't judge anybody.
How's your back from that?
Well, it's actually fine, you know, because even I was on a Tempur-Pedic mattress. It was just right on the floor. I didn't have a bed frame, so I was comfortable. You know,
Oh, not an air mattress. Okay.
it wasn't an air mattress. It wasn't an air mattress. But if somebody was sleeping on an air mattress, I mean, like, it's not a red flag because they could just be in a situation where they just don't got the funds, and maybe I could step in and
Right.
be an assistant. It's, you know, it's like we just can't judge people for this
Right.
situation. You don't know the
Right.
facts.
I will say, if you try to fuck on an air mattress, though, it can be quite loud.
Yeah, totally. I mean, they're cute for a weekend camping, honey. That's it.
Yeah. best sex ever, but they're a compulsive liar.
Yeah, that's a red flag. Sorry. I didn't got any heads right
The
now.
crazy ones always fuck well, though.
Right. And it's like, yeah, I mean, if I knew how much they lied, I would also be worried about like their health at the same time too. So like, they could be lying about that. So my the sex would get compromised.
Exactly. And last one. They love to take you shopping, but they live tweet your purchases.
They love to take me shopping, but they lied to my purposes. I think that I probably wouldn't give a shit. I'm like, yo, you buying it? I don't give a shit who you tell. I mean, and then like, I wouldn't be afraid either. You can take a picture of me with it if you want.
We're gonna go to the Rolex store. We're gonna go to
Like,
the
whatever. Yeah.
Apple store.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to really hide. What's to hide?
Exactly. Awesome. Thank you for playing Red Flags with me, Steve.
No problem. Thank you for asking me. It's been fun. It's been a great conversation and much more casual and lighthearted than any other podcast I've been on that has been definitely fun and amazing, but like this is a nice switch up for me because it's not usually like this. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I love having just fun conversations and of course get a little like nitty gritty here and there, but I also like to have fun too.
No, yeah. It's not all about work. It's about play too in life. You gotta have that balance.
Exactly. Steve, thank you again for being here. I appreciate you. Again, you'll find all of the social media handles in the link in the description down below. Thank you again for being here, Steve.
Thank you, Demi. Bye, everyone.
A very special thank you to my guests for joining me in this week's episode. Check out the episode description for all of their information. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to leave a comment and a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It'll really help out the show. Also, subscribe to my YouTube channel for video versions of this show and other content. You will find my blogs, The Deviant Diaries, and A Deviant's Guide to Sex, show notes, articles used, and Hookup Horror Stories official merch on my website at DimitriWild.com. You can also purchase both of my poetry books, Bitter Blue Pill, and All Was Nothing in the Time of Champions from Amazon.com. Just search for Dimitri Wild. Oh, one last thing. Thank you for listening. Stay deviant.
Remember, subscribing might not be worth it, but it's also not optional. So just do it.